I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture that are found in the 6th chapter of the book of 1 Timothy. Now, our subject this morning is lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Twice in the 6th chapter of the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul urges those who read this epistle to lay hold on eternal life. Listen to verse 12. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And then verse 19, lay in store a good foundation against the time to come and lay hold on eternal life. We hear a lot about eternal life. Well, just exactly what is eternal life? What's Paul talking about here? Lay hold on eternal life. He that believeth on the Son of God hath eternal life. And this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. Just exactly what is eternal life? Well, let me say this. It's more than eternal existence. This life we're talking about here, which is eternal, is a lot more than living forever. It's a lot more than eternal existence. Satan, who rebelled against God and led a multitude of heavenly creatures against God, has eternal existence. He will live eternally. He'll live under judgment. He'll live under God's wrath. But he'll live forever. So eternal life is more than eternal existence. The angels, the Scripture says they kept not their first estate, but sinned against God and are confined to the regions of the damned. They are reserved in everlasting chains, in darkness unto the judgment of that great day. They have eternal existence. And then unbelievers, wicked men, all the wicked men who have ever lived on this earth have eternal existence. For our Lord said, in that day I will say unto them, depart from me. Bind them hand and foot and cast them into hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So this we know, eternal life is not eternal existence. It's not just to live forever. What is eternal life? Well, I say, first of all, it's that life which Adam had in the garden before he fell. The Scripture says that Adam was created in the image of God. God said, let us make man after our likeness in our image. And if Adam had never sinned, if Adam had never fallen, he would have continued in that life. He would be living today, 6,000 years later. It is that life which Adam had before he fell. It is that life which Adam lost when he fell. Now, God said to Adam, when he gave him the commandment to leave the forbidden tree alone, he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die. He didn't say someday you'll die. He said, in that day, you'll die. Now, Adam lived after he sinned 930 years. He died physically 930 years later, but something happened to Adam the very moment in which he fell. Something happened right then. He lost something. Because Adam didn't know what it was to be afraid. Adam didn't know what it was to be ashamed. Adam didn't know what it was to hate until that point, until that moment. Now, that's what happened. Adam lost eternal life. Adam lost the life of God. And that's what eternal life is. That's what left Adam when he fell. Eternal life is the life of the eternal God. That's what eternal life is. Eternal life is divine life. It's not fleshly life or physical life, human life, mental life. It's divine life. It's spiritual life. Sinners are said to be dead in sin. That is, they have not eternal life. They have not divine life or spiritual life or the life of God. They're living physically, but they're dead in sin. Sinners are said to be dead while they live. Now, my friends, there's several kinds of life. The life of the plants, this plant life. In other words, trees live. Trees can die. Flowers live. Plants live. This vegetable life. And then there's animal life. Cows and horses and sheep and your pets live. They live. They have a life. And then there's human or mental life, which every son of Adam has. Every son and daughter of Adam lives. They live physically. They live in the flesh. Now, there are three kinds of life. Somebody else says there's mineral life. Well, maybe. Mineral life, vegetable life, animal life, and human life. But there's another life. There's a life that most people know nothing about. There is spiritual life. There's eternal life. And this is what the Scripture's talking about. Lay hold upon, you can't lay hold upon something that you already possess. You can't seek something you already have. There's no need of seeking it. There's no need of laying hold on it. There's no need of reaching for it if you already possess it. So there's a vegetable life and an animal life and a human life, and there is a divine life. The Scripture says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." The Scripture says, "We have passed from death unto life." Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Eternal life is the life of God in a man. It's a new life. It's a new birth. This is what the new birth is. It's not just turning over a new leaf or getting religion or joining the church or doing better. Eternal life is a resurrection from the dead. This thing of the new life, the new birth, is to be born of God, born of the Spirit. It's to receive the divine life of God, which I did not have before by nature. And eternal life is to know God. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed before he went to the cross for his people, the priestly prayer of the Master, in which he said, John 17:3, This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is to know God. It's to have a living, vital, intimate union with God Almighty. And this is what Paul is telling us in these two verses. Lay hold upon this. Lay hold upon eternal life. As you see the time approaching, lay hold upon eternal life. And let me tell you, my friends, as human life is high above animal life. You know how much higher human life is than animal life? Well, let me ask you a question. How much more valuable is the life of your little boy than the life of your dog? Well, he said, "Preacher, there's no comparison." That's foolishness. That's foolish talk. I know it sounds foolish, doesn't it? But I'm making a point. Eternal life is as far above physical life as physical life is above animal life. That's how much more blessed it is. That's how much more valuable it is. Eternal life is as far above physical life, mental life, human life, fleshly life, as fleshly life is above a dog's life. Now, my friends, death is associated with every form of life. And this is why I'm saying this. Death is associated with every form of life. Vegetable life, the plants die. Animal life, the dogs die. The cows die. Human life, it's appointed unto me and wants to die. Eternal life, Christ said, "Listen, he that believeth on me shall never die." See how important it is? See how great it is? "He that believeth on me shall never die." Now, you say, "But every believer is going to die." Now, here's what the Scripture says. When a believer experiences the death of the body, there's no change in that divine eternal life. He lays aside the body, but that divine life lives on. It's like a river that continues and deepens and widens until it reaches the sea of paradise. That eternal life begins, and it never ends. There's no change in that divine life. It goes on as it was, unbroken. The death of the body only ushers us into the very presence of God to enjoy eternal glory, eternal love, eternal peace, eternal perfection for which the believer has always longed and yearned. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every tear and wipe my weeping eye. There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest. and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. Lay hold on eternal life. When? That's the question. All right, my friend, here's the answer. The only laying hold of eternal life must begin now. Must begin now. Don't you dream that you'll ever obtain eternal life unless you receive it by faith in this life. There's no possibility. As physical death leaves you, eternity will keep you. That's true. As physical death leaves you, eternity will keep you. Now, men may dream up schemes and plans and all kinds of ways of salvation for men after death, but the Scripture knows nothing about that. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. And when our Lord talked about the rich man in hell, he cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, my son, between you and me, or between you and us, there's a great gulf fixed, and no one can pass from you to us, and no one from us to you. My friend, the Scripture says in Revelation 22:11, he that's unjust, let him be unjust still. If you die tonight as an unjust man in your sins, without God, without Christ, without hope, you remain unjust. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. But he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. Our righteousness is Christ. He's our hope, our foundation, our refuge. He's our righteousness. And he that hath Christ will have him still. He that's holy, none of us will lay claim to a personal holiness, but we lay claim to the holiness of Christ Jesus. And he that's holy in Christ, let him be holy still. So, my friends, eternal life is to be obtained, if obtained at all, in this life. This is when we receive it. This is when we believe. And I would say to you, while you have the faculties of understanding and the faculties of reason and the faculties of hearing, the Scripture says, give your heart and your life to your God when you're young. That's what it says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, or the days draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in those things. There'll come a day when you'll be dull of reason and dull of memory and dull of thinking. Listen to the Word of God now. Lay hold upon eternal life. You have nothing facing you of greater importance. You must face death. You must die physically, or to live spiritually. You must meet God at the judgment, or to have Christ as my mediator. You must spend eternity somewhere, or to spend that eternity with Almighty God, enjoying His presence and His love. I want to point out five things about laying hold on eternal life. Now, if you have a pencil and paper and you'd like to jot down these five points, I'd be happy for you to do so. It may be that you'll go back and study it later and it'll be helpful to you. But here are five things that I would like to present to you on this subject, laying hold on eternal life. The first is this. Somebody might ask this question while you're listening. You've heard what I've had to say about eternal life. You say, I'd like to have it. How do I lay hold on eternal life? All right, listen to these five things. Number one, lay hold on eternal life. Believe it. This is where we start. Believe it. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record. This is true. As Paul said, it's a true and faithful saying. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is, God's given us eternal life, and it's in His Son. That's where He's vested it. That's where He's put it, in His Son. His Son bought that right. His Son has that right by decree. His Son has that right by design, purpose. His Son has that right by death. His Son has that right to possess all things. He's the source of all life and all grace. All life is in Him. As the Father quickeneth the dead, even so the Son quickeneth or maketh alive whom He will. And this is the record. Believe it. Believe it. That's where you start. It's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must, first of all, believe that he is. Do you see that? That's where we start. Listen to John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. This very life we're talking about, this divine life, this eternal life, this spiritual life. He that believeth, not he that worketh, not he that giveth, not he that goeth, he that believeth on Christ. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now this faith, you say, well, preacher, my faith is weak. This faith may be weak. It may be frail, but the promise is not based on the strength of faith, but the object of faith. The promise is to you in Christ. It's not the strength of your faith, it's the object of your faith. The Roman said, the centurion said this to Christ, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And it's not the strength of the faith. It may be weak and frail, but it's the object of the faith. Believe on Christ with whatever faith you have. And this faith may be limited in knowledge. I like what the blind man said, the man who was blind, and Christ made him whole. And Christ asked him, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he that I might believe? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? What did the thief on the cross know about original sin? What did the thief on the cross know about prophecy? What did the thief on the cross know about the law? He knew he was a sinner, and he knew the sinner's hope was in Christ, and he asked for mercy. So this faith may be weak, it may be frail, it may be limited in knowledge, and this faith may claim no merit of its own. In my hands no price I bring, simply to the cross of Jesus Christ I cling. Listen to Peter as he sank beneath the waves. Lord, save me or I perish. Can you do that? See, that's where you start, by believing. Believing you're sinking and believing he is able to save. Believing he's the only Savior. Believing he's the one to whom we're to turn. For this faith is convinced there's no other place to turn. Will you also go away? To whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So that's the first thing. How do you lay hold on this life? I want this life. Above all things, I want this life. I've got to die. I've got to face God in the judgment. I've got to spend eternity somewhere. I don't want to spend eternity separated from God. I don't want to spend eternity under the judgment and wrath of a holy God. I don't want to spend eternity in filthiness, uncleanness, and darkness. I want to spend eternity with God. How can I lay hold on eternal life? Believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. All right, secondly, believe it, receive it. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 12. Now, my friend, remember, life is not a doctrine, it's a person. This eternal life, this divine life, is not a religion, it's a person. It's not a law, it's not a ceremony or a ritual. We were born with ritualism and ceremonialism and legalism and every other kind of ism. But this life is a person. And it says in John 1:12, as many, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, as many, white or black, rich or poor, old or young, as many, learned or ignorant, as many as received him. Him. To them gave he the right, the privilege, to become sons of God. That's what it is. Receive it. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed. You see, there's believing it. And I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. That's trusting him. That's receiving him. Receiving Christ is to trust him. To trust him. And then receiving Christ is to acknowledge him. To acknowledge him as he's revealed in the Holy Scriptures. I believe what God says about his Son, do you? I believe what God says about me, about my sins, about my need, about my inability. I believe what God says about himself, his holiness, his righteousness, his merit, his justice, his truth. I know there's no way that I can approach unto the holiness of God unless somebody makes me holy. And in Christ I have that holiness, that righteousness. I receive him. I receive him as my prophet, priest, and king. My prophet to reveal God. My priest to atone for my sins. And my king to reign over me. I receive him as my intercessor. I receive him as my advocate. I receive him as my mediator. I receive him as the one who pleads for me before the righteous, holy throne of a sovereign God. Do you? Receive him. Receive him. All right, thirdly, how do you lay hold on eternal life? You believe it. That's where you start. And then you consciously, intelligently receive him. I know whom I have believed. A man cannot trust an unrevealed Savior. Paul wrote in Romans 10, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? So here's the third thing now. Cherish it. Cherish eternal life. You know, most men will preserve physical life at any cost. What would you do to save your physical life? What will you give? Say you had a fortune and the doctor tomorrow told you that you had cancer and you could be cured, but it cost you every dime you got. You'd pay it. That's right, you'd pay it. Listen to Job 2:4. All that a man hath will he give for his life. If someone told you that you had a disease and there was a doctor who was in Timbuktu who could cure you, you'd borrow the money, catch a plane, and go and find him if he was in the heart of the jungle. A man will do anything to preserve physical life. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Now you think about that a little while. That physical body of yours is going to die and rot and go back to the dust in 70, 80, 90 years at the most. But your soul's going to live forever. My friend, this thing of eternal life, believe it, receive it, and cherisheth it. Cherish it. We need to give ourselves to the things that promote eternal life, to the things that promote a knowledge of Christ. What are these things that promote eternal life? It's the things that are identified with eternal life. The Word of God. I tell you, if you spend as much time reading the Scriptures as you do health books and vitamin books and home remedy books and all these other things trying to get good health physically, you'd be in a lot better condition. Read the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Listen to the preaching of the gospel. Find a place to worship God where God is worshiped. And then walk around with godly companions. I'll tell you, evil companions corrupt good manners. And I'd separate myself. I'd flee those things. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Flee those things that are detrimental to your spiritual life. Flee those things that are detrimental to your spiritual growth. Flee those things that drag you down. And cherish that valuable gift in Christ which God has given you, eternal life. And then here's the fourth thing. Enjoy it. Enjoy eternal life. Brethren, listen to me. You can get involved in all the controversies of this day if you wish. That's your privilege. That's your right. You can be a party politician. You can be a man of culture. You can be a man of education and speculation. You can be a man of power and possessions and praise if you see fit. That's your privilege. But if you'll take my advice, you'll lay hold on eternal life. You're going to have to lay down the things of this world someday. I'll tell you, they're not worth the time that you spend to acquire them. You've got to lay these things down. God's going to burn this world, and God's going to burn everything associated with this world. A man, you know what God said in the book of Job? Naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave this world. The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I would say unto you, to lay hold on eternal life in this sense, consider it the most valuable thing that you have, and nothing else is worth your time or your trouble. Hang loosely. Hold loosely onto the things of this world. Be ready to let them go. I like what Ruth said to Naomi. She said, whether you go, I'll go. Whether you lodge, I'll lodge. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'll live where you live. I'll die where you die. And there's where I'll be buried. And I want to say that to Christ and to his church and to his people. to his people. Where you live, I live. Your people are my people. And then the fifth thing, lay hold on eternal life. Believe it, receive it, cherish it, enjoy it. Make it your aim. Make it your goal. Make it your pastime. Make it your hobby. Make it your life's work. And then expect it. Sooner than you know, Christ is going to call you. Our life here is a vapor. My life, your life, is but a shadow, but a flower that's blooming today, and tomorrow it's gone. Look for that city. Abraham looked for it. Count it very near. It's nearer than you can possibly imagine. And look forward to it. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. In other words, he's saying this, I want to die. You say, that's a strange request. Yeah, but he knew what was ahead. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Look forward to it. Look forward to this eternal life.